a leper. And can I just say this to you tonight, Preacher Mitch, he did not just wake up one day and whoop, I'm a leper. Hey, that's not how, Brother Mark, leprosy worked. How many know that when a man began to contract leprosy, there was some minor symptoms that began to come upon him to let him know something's not right. To let him know that there is a problem. And before it became a full-fledged disease that overtook his life, it began with some minute details. Can I share with you the first signs of leprosy? First of all, he began to get some pain in his joints. I know what most of y'all are thinking right now. Preacher, I've got leprosy. No. Hey, it began with some pain in his joints. What a minute detail. But then he began to get maybe a blister. Or there was a loss of color in his skin. Or maybe he began to get a rash, an ulcer, or some redness. There would be a reduced sensation of touch, that pins and needles feeling. Oh, there was a loss of temperature sensation. He began to, if left untreated, begin to affect the skin and the peripheral nerves, which are the nerves located outside of the brain and the spinal cord. And it would often cause weakness and numbness and pain, usually in the hands and feet. The soft tissue of the nostrils, mouth, nasal cavity, and throat began to be affected. His nose would begin to get disfigured. There would be a crippling of the hands and feet. Left untreated, it would turn into paralysis. And the shrinking of his fingers and toes due to absorption. Then he would begin to experience blindness and kidney failure, and eventually it would lead to his death. Oh, listen, not only did he suffer physically and emotionally, but listen, there was a social and a religious exclusion as well. He was isolated from his family, isolated from the community, isolated from the religious world, and he was marked as unclean. And what began as a very small thing, what began as a very minute symptom or situation, turned into a very big deal that overtook his life. It turned into an awful, life-changing disease that changed his life. I'm talking about, listen, his horrific problem. This man was a leper. I don't know how far in the process that he was, but I know the Bible deemed him a leper, and it had gone far enough that he was unclean. It had gone far enough that that minute thing turned into a major thing that had overtaken his life and dramatically changed it. Oh, someone said, Preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I just wonder if I'm preaching to somebody tonight that knows exactly what this leper has gone through. That maybe there was something tonight that you're carrying around. There's something that you walked into this church with tonight that maybe when it started out, it didn't seem like a very big thing. When you first started out, you thought, well, you know, that ain't too bad. Or maybe when it started out, you thought, well, you know, it's just something small and minute, and I'm just not going to worry about that. And, well, you know, it'll soon pass. And, well, that ain't much. And, listen, it's just a little thing. It's just a small thing. But maybe that thing that started out minute and started out small has begun to progress and has begun to grow and has begun to finger out into your life. And, brother, you have soon found found out that it's overtaken you and overcome you, and that thing that seems so little has now forever changed your life. It's preaching time. Woo! Some of y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. Oh, listen, I don't have to give you a sundry list of what it could be or what it might be, because you know what that thing is that started out small and started out minute, and it seems so harmless, and it seems so little, and it seems so insignificant, and it seemed like it just wasn't going to be any situation at all. But now that thing has become a horrific problem. That thing has become a situation that has overcome every aspect of your life. You lay down thinking about it. You get up thinking about it. Brother, you can't help talk about it because that's all that's on your mind. You go to work thinking about it. You go through your day overcome with it, and you go to bed with it. And brother, I'm talking about this thing that has grown into a horrific problem for you tonight. Amen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know what I mean. Listen, maybe nobody else knows, but you and the Lord know all about it.
Amen.
And you come in tonight just overcome, overwhelmed with that horrific problem. I'm not talking about necessarily sin. It could be sin, but maybe it's just some other thing that has been left untreated, that has been pushed to the side, that was swept under the rug, that just wasn't dealt with. And now it has grown exponentially and overcome your life. It ain't shouting preaching, but it's good preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, brother, I'm talking about a horrific problem. This man was a leper. He hadn't always been a leper. He wasn't born a leper. He didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I've become a leper. Oh, no, it was a gradual thing. It was a slow process. It was something that over time just began to happen, and left untreated, brother, it has overcome his life. I see a horrific problem, but number two, let me hasten on. I don't just see his horrific problem, but woo, I see his honest prayer. Notice his honest prayer. Are you still with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I love what the Bible said. The Bible said that he came to Jesus. Notice these words, beseeching him. Woo, I like that word, beseeching. Oh, yes, that word, beseeching. That word has great meaning. In the Greek, it is the word parakaleos. And here's what it means. It means to call near. It means to invite. It means to desire. It means to entreat. And it means to pray. Oh, could I just tell you, this leper knew he was in trouble, brother. This leper knew he needed some help. He knew this thing was out of his hands, and left to himself, there wasn't a thing he could do about it. But how many know he knew where to go?
Amen.
He knew who to call on. He knew who to trust in. He knew where to go. Oh, I love that definition, invite. He invited the Lord into his situation. He invited the Lord into his problem. He invited the Lord into his life. Brother, he entreated him. He prayed unto him. He called out to him. Oh, the Bible said he besought him. I'm not talking about some little, weak, limp-wristed prayer. Oh, Lord, the Lord is good and the Lord is great. Thank you for what's on my plate. I'm not talking about that kind of praying. Oh, no. But I'm talking about desperate prayer. I'm talking about he came beseeching. He came calling out on God because he knew he was in trouble. He knew this was not going to end well. He knew that he needed some help that only the Lord could give. And he came beseeching him. Amen. Oh, I wonder, Daddy, when's the last time you besought him? Hey, Mommy, when's the last time you besought him? I'm not talking about when's the last time you was in church. I'm not talking about when's the last time you just prayed back there in your pew. I'm talking about when's the last time you came to an altar and publicly and openly wept and cried out to God and said, I got a situation. I got a horrific problem. I got something that maybe started out small, but it has fingered into every aspect of my life, and it has overcome me. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. We need you, Lord. And he called out to him, and I love his prayer. Do you see his prayer here in Mark chapter 1? He said, oh, notice what he said to the Lord. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Woo! Lord, if you will, I know you're able. Lord, if you will, I know you can. Lord, if you will, I know you got the power. Oh, Lord, if you will, I know you got the authority. Oh, listen, no wonder why the old preacher, Thomas Watson, said this about prayer. He said, prayer delights God's ear. It melts his heart. It opens his hand. A God cannot deny a praying soul. Oh, I just wonder. I wonder today, sir. I wonder today, ma'am, if we would truly beseech him, if we would call on him, if we would come with honest prayer and call on his name. I just wonder what we would see happen in our lives. I wonder what we'd see happen in our homes. I wonder what we'd see happen in our families. I wonder what we'd see in our churches. I wonder what we'd see in our communities. I wonder what we'd see in our country. Oh, I'm not just talking about complaining about how bad things have gotten. I'm not talking about going to the doctor and getting a pill because I'm just so down about all that's going on. I'm talking about going to the great physician. I'm talking about going to the one that can do what you cannot do, that can intervene, that can do the impossible. Lord, if you will, Lord, if you will, Lord, if you will, I know you can. Praise God. I see his honest prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, look up here, friend. A leper. Everybody knew he was a leper. He couldn't hide it.
Amen.
We're pretty good at hiding stuff. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
We put on our church clothes. By the way, I never have liked this brown suit, but I brought it anyway. But we put on our church clothes. We come in. How you doing, brother? God bless you. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You ate up.
Yeah.
You ate up with leprosy.
Amen.
You're overcome, overwhelmed. I'm talking about you just, you know, it started out so small, insignificant, and it's just grown and gotten bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you're just overcome. This leper couldn't hide it. We're good at hiding stuff. And I understand we don't want everybody to know our business. I know that. But listen, we just act like it ain't nothing wrong. You know, as long as I look good, everybody thinks I'm doing good, I'm good. I, by the way, I hate that. Ask somebody, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. But you know what? A leper could not hide the fact he was a leper. Everybody knew he was a leper. Reckon what it would be like if everybody knew what it was we was going through. Reckon what it would be like if I said, okay, Brother Mark Swagger, we're going to go ahead and put it up here, what you're going through and what you're facing and all that you've been thinking about and all that you've been dealing with. And, oh, if everybody knew. Listen. But I'm talking about there's a God who does know. He has searched you and he's tried you. He knows all about you. And though you may have it hid and covered up and nobody else knows, he knows. Hey, listen, this man was a leper. Everybody knew he was a leper. The Lord knew he was a leper. And the Lord knows all about you. He knows what you stand in need of before you even ask him. You can paint it up and try to look good. But he knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows your soul. He knows all about you. And he knows all about me. Praise God, he knows what I stand in need of. This man wasn't trying to cover it up. He wasn't trying to hide it. He was honest with God. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he needed help. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. The horrific problem, a leper. The honest prayer, oh God, I need cleansed. I need help. I need healing. I need you to intervene. Oh, but notice And I'll hasten on. I want you to notice his humble position. Not just his honest prayer, but I love his humble position. Do you see where he is? He's not in his face. He's at his feet.
Amen.
The Bible said he came kneeling down to him. There's just something about that that moves him. Oh, that's why in Luke 14 and 11, Jesus said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And James 4, 6, he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Oh, thank God. 1 Peter 5 and 6, he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he said, he will exalt you. I see him, brother, in a humble position at the feet of Jesus. You know what he was doing? He was humbling himself, and he was surrendering himself to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Why do we always try to fix it ourselves? Oh, I told you it ain't shouting preaching, but it's good preaching. Hey. Why do we always try to figure it out ourselves and fix it ourselves? And I got this, and oh, I'll get through this, and I'll make it happen, and I'll do it. Yeah, yeah. And you know what we'll do? We'll make a bigger mess of it.
Amen.
I'm reminded of the church in Laodicea. Man, they were wretched, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. If anybody needed the Lord's help, they sure did. But you know what they said? We got this. We don't need you. We'll figure it out. We're rich and we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. And brother, listen, I'm telling you, all the while, they're rich. And listen, they thought they was rich, but they were poor. Oh, listen, they were blind and naked. And brother, they were in trouble and they needed help that only the Lord could give. Oh, I see, listen, this horrific problem. I see his honest prayer. But look at his humble position as he kneels and surrenders before the Lord, acknowledging that he can't, but he can. That it was impossible for him, but it was not impossible for the Lord. Oh my, he surrendered it all to him. And I would tonight that there would be somebody, oh listen, that would receive a lesson from a leper. And tonight that you would come, and that you, in honest prayer, in an humble position, would come before the Lord and just surrender it to him and say, Lord, I've tried and I've failed. I can't do it, but Lord, you can. I need help that only comes from you. And brother, I promise you, when you humble yourself before him, he'll reach down his mighty hand. He'll lift you up out of your trouble and thank God do for you what you can't do for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on a second. Good preaching, brother. Preach on. Amen. Woo. Praise God. Humble position.
Amen.
Humble position as he knelt before the Lord. Could I say this to you? Number four, in his humble position, I'm going to tell you, he had a hopeful purpose. He had a hopeful purpose. Do you know why he did what he did? Preacher Tim, I believe it's because he was tired of living the way he was living.
Amen.
Hey, Brother Banks, this man was tired of being a leper.
Amen.
He was tired of living the life of a leper. He was tired of being excluded. He was tired of being unclean. He was tired of the pain. He was tired of the suffering. He was tired of the disease. That though it started so small now, had it overcome his life. And he was so tired of living this life of a leper, he had a hopeful purpose. That's why he came to the Lord. That's why he came to Jesus, because he had a hopeful purpose. And I believe there's somebody here tonight. Listen, you came here tonight. Listen, you could have been at Walmart. You could have been at the house in your recliner. You could have been anywhere, but here you are tonight. Why? Because I believe there's somebody here that had a hopeful purpose. You came in and thought, maybe tonight's the night. Maybe tonight's the night. Maybe tonight my prayer's going to get answered. Maybe tonight my help is going to come. Maybe tonight he's going to do for me what I need done. Maybe tonight I'll get a touch from the master's hand. Oh, maybe tonight's the night. but my soul will be revived. My help is on the way. Oh, maybe tonight, you had a hopeful purpose coming here tonight. Amen. Amen. Woo! You had a hopeful purpose. This man had a hopeful purpose. Oh, because he came and he knelt before the Lord. Listen, he wasn't supposed to be around people. He was supposed to be excluded, ostracized, away from, but he came because he had a hopeful purpose. He cried out for mercy, Lord, if you will, because he had a hopeful purpose. He fell down before him in surrender because he had a hopeful purpose. Oh, tonight, friend, I'm telling you, he wanted better than what he had. He was tired of this thing that had overtaken his life. He was tired of this thing that had overcome him. He was tired of this thing that had changed him into the creature he now was. And he is just a memory of what he used to be. Oh, brother, he had a hopeful purpose. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He had a hopeful purpose. Oh, he wanted better than what he had. But I want you to see this. And here's where business picks up. Woo! Here's where it's been good, but it's going to get gooder. Oh, yeah. Because I see this man and this with this horrific problem in his honest prayer, in his humble position, in his hopeful purpose. But now, notice this. I see the Lord's heartfelt pity. Woo! I see his heartfelt pity. Notice what the book says. The Bible said Jesus in verse 41 moved with compassion. Hey, can I just tell you this word compassion here? Here's the definition: to have the bowels yearn, to feel sympathy, and to feel pity. Oh, thank God. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 145 and 8 said this. He said, the Lord is gracious. Is there anybody else here that could raise your hand tonight and say, he's sure been gracious? He's been gracious. Oh, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Thank God, slow to anger and of great mercy. I'm glad I serve one who is full of compassion. I see this leprous man before him. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord could have said, away from me. He could have went on and done his other business. He could have said, I ain't got time for you. But no, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Oh, thank God, I'm glad he cares about you. Oh, listen, I know the devil would have you to believe that you're just a face in the crowd, a card lost in the shuffle, a misplaced cog in the wheel of life, that in this great crowd of people, surely the Lord isn't concerned about you, and he's not got compassion for you, and he can't consider you. But au contraire, mon frere, I'm telling you, he has walked these aisles and up and through these pews, and he knows you personally. He knows you individually. And thank God, the same one that had compassion for him has compassion for you. And thank God, he is full of compassion. I see his heart felt pity. And you know what? And here's where I know for sure that he's got heartfelt pity. Here's where I can nail it down 100%. For sure, I know he's got heartfelt pity. Notice what the book said. Notice what the book said. He moved with compassion. Notice this. He put forth his hand and touched him. Woo! Reckon, when was the last time this man been touched? Woo! Hey, reckon, when was the last time he felt the touch of another's hand?
Come on.
It may have been months. It may have been years. When was the last time he felt the touch of a hand? When was the last time anybody, rather than run from him and shun him and avoid him and get away from him? No, but Jesus moved with compassion and he put forth his hand and he touched him. Oh, you may feel like nobody cares and nobody understands, and preacher, nobody knows what I'm going through, and the devil's convinced you that you're all alone and isolated and nobody loves you and nobody cares. But oh, there's one that'll reach out a nail-scarred hand, and tonight he'll touch you. He'll touch you. Oh, he longs to touch you, friend. Amen. And I just wonder, friend, let me ask you this. When's the last time you felt the touch of his hand? It might have been a while. It might have been when this thing first started. You seen that little blister. Felt that little ache of your joint. Didn't feel right. Pins and needles, something. But pretty soon that thing progressed and got bigger and bigger and worse and overcome you. And now it's full-fledged. And you think, preacher, it's been a while since I felt the touch of his hand. Been a while since I felt the touch of his hand. Oh, can I just tell you this word touch here? It is haptomahi in the Greek, and here's what it means. It means to attach oneself. Woo! It means to attach oneself. It means to touch. I just wonder, when was the last time you felt the touch of his hand? But can I tell you, there's one, listen, that'll move towards you and, brother, have compassion on you, and in heartfelt pity he wants to join himself to you and to your situation. He ain't moving away from you. He ain't running from you. He ain't trying to avoid you. He ain't forgot about you. He ain't gonna forsake you, but he wants to join himself, attach himself to you. He wants to become one with you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to be with you. He loves you and has compassion for you. When was the last time you felt the touch of his hand, friend? When's the last time you heard from heaven? When's the last time the joy bells rang in your soul? When was the last time the peace of God like a billowing wave overcame you? When was the last time you felt the embrace of his strong arm? When was the last time his joy sprung up like a well in your soul and you drank and was refreshed? When was the last time you felt his strength infuse you and help you overcome the problems of life? When was the last time, brother, you had sweet communion with him and you felt like you could just touch heaven? Oh, thank God. I'm telling you, I see his heartfelt pity as he reached out a hand and touched this man who hadn't been touched in a long time. I'm telling you, tonight he's reaching for this hand and he wants to touch you. Amen. But can I remind you, James 4 and 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Amen. Do you notice in this account, this man made the first move? Do you notice this man made the conscious effort? Effort. Sometimes, preacher, it takes effort. He made the effort to come and draw himself nigh to Jesus, and when he did, Jesus drew nigh to him. Amen. Oh, I hope to God tonight somebody receives a lesson from a leper, that you won't just sit back and say, well, you know, it'll be all right. Well, you know, it's not such a big thing and it'll soon pass. And well, it's just a little something we're going through right now. And well, you know, hey, I hope tonight you just don't sit back and let that thing overcome you, but tonight you'll draw nigh to him, that you'll make a move to him. And tonight, in heartfelt pity, he'll have compassion on you and he'll touch you and he'll attach himself to you and he'll do for you what you can't do for yourself. I see his heartfelt pity, amen. But better than that, woo, I see his healing power. I see his healing power, because the Bible said, as soon as he had spoken, immediately. You know what that means? Straightway, right now, for sure, done, did it. Thank you, Lord. Praise God for what you did. Immediately, the Bible said the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Oh, I see his healing power. Oh, no wonder why in Psalm 147 and 5, the psalmist said, great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Hey, can I tell you, that thing that has overcome you, it may be great, but whoop, he's greater. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It may be great, but he's greater. And thank God, he is of great power. His understanding is infinite. And I love what Jesus said of himself in Matthew 28:18. Notice what he said. He said, all power. Would you say those two words with me? All power. That's pretty good over here. Let's try it over here. Hey, all power. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I'm pretty sure that all means all, and that's all that all means. He didn't say some power. He didn't say a whole lot of power. He didn't say most power. But praise God, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Oh, my. Thank God. I'm glad you can trust one like that tonight. Oh, thank God for his healing power. Amen. He's got power to save. He's got power to restore. He's got power to heal. He's got power to deliver. He's got power to bless. He's got power to provide. He's got power to move. He's got power to do what needs done. Thank God for his healing power. I'm glad he's got great power. I didn't say you had great power. No. We don't have great power. I said, he's got great power. The Bible said, thou will keep him, Isaiah 26:3-4, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. He said, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. Oh, we like to work it out, don't we? We like to make it happen. We like to put on our big boy pants and I got this. Yeah. I wonder how long that leper went on and figured, well, I got this. I'll figure it out. It'll be okay. I'll get through this. And now he finds himself at the feet of the great physician saying, Lord, if you will, I know you can. I see his heartfelt pity as he reaches out his hand. And I see his healing power as he touches him. And oh, the Bible said as he spoke immediately the leprosy was cleansed. How oftentimes do we go so long with that horrific problem when all the while we could have just brought it to the Lord and received our help? Lost soul, I wonder how long will you go on in your sin? Wayward heart, how long will you go on in your disobedience and rebellion? Hey, saint of God, how long will you go on self-willed and stubborn? Saying, I got this and I'll figure it out. And how long will you go on with that thing that is overtaking your life and forever changing your life and robbing you of the good things God has for you? Hey, listen, when all the while you could just come to him and let him fix it. Amen. Immediately. Now, some of y'all, you know what, tonight, some of y'all are going to leave here the same way you come in, ate up, overcome. You're going to leave the same way you come in. But praise God, I believe there'll be somebody that has a hopeful purpose that says, I'm tired of living with this thing. I'm tired of this thing hindering me. I'm tired of this thing robbing me. I'm tired of this thing overcoming my life and taking so much from me. I'm tired of this thing and what it's done to my life and my home and my family. I'm tired of this thing, and I'm just going to bring it to Jesus. And tonight you're going to get some help. Woo! You're going to get some help from the one whose healing power is just as good today as it's always been. How do you know know, preacher, because what the book said, Jesus Christ the same. The same yesterday and today and forever. The same Jesus that we read of here in Mark chapter 1 is the same Jesus who's still at the right hand of God making intercession, friend, and he's still got the same power he's always had.
Amen.
Now, can I just say this, and I'm going to give you my last point. I kept you longer than I intended, but I'm enjoying myself. Amen. There's some of you that are so overwhelmed and overcome with that thing that started out so small. The devil has convinced you it's impossible. He has whispered in your ear and said it's too far gone. Can't be done. Hang it up. Throw up the white flag. Throw in the towel. Dig the hole. You're a dead man walking. Hey, it ain't going to happen. And he's done told you that horrific problem is just too big and too far gone to be took care of. Can I just tell you what the book said? He's a liar.
Amen.
He's a liar. He's a liar, friend. Oh, listen, can I tell you, this man maybe said to himself on the way to where Jesus was, man, I'm ate up with this leprosy. I've never heard of anybody ever recovering from this. Oh, there's just no way. But there was just something on the inside that said, just maybe he can do something for you. Friend, can I tell you, it's not too hard for him.
Amen.
Oh, this may seem elementary to some of you, but man, it's good, and we need to get a hold of it.
Amen.
That it may be impossible for you, and it may be too far gone for you, and maybe it's out of your hands, but praise God when you put it in his hands. Friend, it's in good hands, and he'll take care of it. Amen.
Amen.
How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible said immediately. Immediately, he was cleansed and made whole. Let me give you my last one. I want you to see his hallelujah praise. Woo! I want you to see his hallelujah praise. You know what the Bible said? He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. Old Vance Havner said, we have a story to be heralded, not a secret to be hidden. Hey, there's some of you, God's been good to you. There's some of you that have felt the touch of his hand. There's some of you, he saved you from a life of sin and depravity. He delivered you from a devil's hell. There's some of you, he healed you when you were sick, when the doctors didn't know what to do. There's some of you that God provided for you when there was nothing, brother, there. There's some of you, he made a way for you when there was no way to be made. There was some of you, he delivered you up out of your trouble, brother, when you thought you were surely going down. There was some of you that God sent a blessing to you, even though you didn't deserve it, you hadn't earned it or been good enough to get it. There's some of you that he's given you grace upon grace upon grace. And brother, you know what I believe? I believe you just ought to give him thanks. You ought to give him glory. You ought to give him praise because you felt the touch of his hand. Amen. And tonight, in just a little while, when we give an invitation, there may be some come because they do have a horrific problem.
Praise the Lord.
And they need a touch from his hand. Maybe they know somebody, Preacher Thad, that has a horrific problem. And Pastor Tim, they know they need a touch from his hand. And Brother Parker, there may be somebody tonight that you're sitting on a padded pew with a Bible in your lap and the hope of heaven in your heart. And if nothing else, you ought to be able to come to an altar with some hallelujah praise. And listen, be able to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter and just say, I just want to tell you what he's done for me. I just want to tell you what he's done for my family. I just want to tell you what he's done in my life. I just want to tell you about the time I was in trouble and he touched me with his hand. Oh, the time I had a horrific problem and there was no way out. I was too far gone. But oh, he with compassion came by my way and delivered me out of my trouble. Oh, thank God somebody ought to have some hallelujah praise. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
When God, listen, when I was growing up, and my daddy said something one time, you better move. It ain't like today. Sometimes I'm in Walmart, and I can hear two aisles over, one, two, three, four. Hey, they wasn't no counting. Daddy said it, and then he was grabbing for his belt. I'm saying that to say, when Daddy said something one time, that was good enough. In the Word of God, when he says something once, that's good. It's settled. It's inspired and infallible, immutable, inerrant. Woo, that's the Word of God. But when he says something four times, woo, you better really listen. And Psalm 107, four times, here's what he said. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. This man had some hallelujah praise. In one second he was a leper, and the next second he wasn't. Hey, in one breath he had a death sentence, and the next he found life. Oh, in one breath he was unclean, but then he got delivered. Hey, praise God. He deserves some hallelujah praise. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me awful strange. I ain't going to wait till I get to heaven to praise him. I'm going to go ahead and start now. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about hallelujah. Praise. Can I share a story as the singers come? Is that okay, preacher? I'm talking about lessons from a leper. I believe it was in the late 90s. In the late 90s, there was a terrible tornado that came through Oklahoma City. And I'm sure, as Sister Jawan plays softly, I'm sure when it first began to be announced and began to be told that the storm was coming, there was probably some people. Listen, I lived in Oklahoma as a child for 4 years. There was a lot of bad storms. And I'm sure that people, Brother Mitch, Preacher Mitch, probably thought, well, you know, it's just another storm. It'll blow over. It'll pass by. It'll be okay. I've seen clouds like that before. It's rained like that before. The wind's blown like that before. It's all right. It'll be okay. But listen, this tornado ripped through Oklahoma City. Buildings were leveled. Lives were lost. Businesses were destroyed. Homes were flattened. Great devastation. And there was outside of Oklahoma City, there's a hill. And on the top of this hill, there's a Bible-believing church that has a very tall steeple with a cross at the top of it. And Preacher Ingram, when the rescue workers and the relief workers came in to Oklahoma City to help these people whose lives had been horrifically changed, devastation, destruction, they came in and they made that church their home base. And here's what they would do. At nighttime, they would shine a great light on that steeple, that cross, on top of the hill. And the relief workers and the rescue workers would drive through the streets of Oklahoma City. Storm-tossed, devastation, destruction. And from their vehicles with loudspeakers, here's what they would say. If you're hungry, go to the cross. If you're thirsty, go to the cross. If you need shelter, go to the cross. If you're alone and need to know that somebody cares, go to the cross. Go to the cross. awesome. Someone said, preacher, tonight, what are you saying? I'm saying to you tonight, take a lesson from a leper and go to Christ, the one who went to the cross. Go to him tonight and find what you need. Find your comfort. Find your peace. Find your healing. Find your strength. Find your direction. Find your blessing. Find your restoration. Find your salvation. Oh, Peter said, Lord, where else could we go but to you? For thou hast the words of eternal life. As we stand across this building and the singer sang, will you come to him tonight?